That's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about it's time we get a grip. It's time we get a grip. I want the Lord to transform us today, to change us. I don't want us to leave here the way we came in. We do that a lot, you know. We come into the house of God as one corporate body. How many of you understand there's something unique about coming together as a body? Yes. There's something that you're going to get today, that you're getting today, that you have already gotten today, that you cannot get on your own at home in your prayer closet. Did you know that? Come on, look at somebody else. Say, get a grip. You have to understand that we were created and designed to be a body, to fit together like hand and glove. We're created and designed, the church, the body of Christ, to function together as one. We cannot function adequately apart from one another. Hello, that's true. Say amen.
Amen.
That's the word of God. I'm so thankful for vacation time. We had a great time last week, and it was wonderfully hot in South Carolina. Beautiful, but hot. And vacations are needed and necessary. And I'm so thankful for the beautiful weather we get in Michigan in the summer. And I'm so thankful for the thing that we do called camping. You know, I love that. And I love that we have all the water around us and the opportunity to be on the water and the boats and things like that. But there comes a time for camping to end and for boating to wait and for vacation to end and for us to be together as one body. There's nothing that you can substitute this for or with. You have to come together as one. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why the Lord wants us to continuously speak encouraging words and prophetic words to one another, to understand how important it is for the body of Christ to be connected. Yes. How many of you know you can come to church and still be disconnected from the body? You can sit there in the chair and you can worship by yourself and you can enter and not speak to anybody and leave and not speak to anyone. You can come in after service starts and leave before service ends. You can do all of those things and you can stay disconnected from the body. Coming here doesn't cause connection. What causes connection is you purposefully, strategically stepping out of your zone and reaching out to someone else in the body and making a connection with them. You have to do it. You have to step out. You have to be purposeful about it. I've had so many people come to me over the years and say, well, it's just nobody's friendly. Nobody reaches out. Well, why don't you be the one to reach out? The Bible says if you want friends, you need to be friendly. So maybe the reason that you don't feel connection is because you're not being purposeful about making connection with the body. So I want to encourage you to do that today. So that's not the message today. That's just what the Lord kind of started this thing with. The message, get a grip. That's actually the title of the message, get a grip. Really, I take it from Hebrews chapter 12. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 and verses 12 and 13, if you look at this scripture, I'm going to read it from the beginning. It says, so take a new grip. Take a new grip. In other words, get a grip. With your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. The Lord desires for us to be everything He designed and created us to be. To be strong, healthy, vibrant, full of life, full of joy, full of power, sons and daughters of the Most High God. This is how he designed us. This is how he created us. And this is what Jesus came to restore to us. Amen? Something Ethan talks about a lot, passionate about. What a great message last week, wasn't that? Wasn't that a great message? Powerful, anointed. One thing I love about Ethan when he speaks is, man, he just, it's like oozing out of him. Gooiness, oozing. It's what? It's Twinkie. It's the inside of a Twinkie being squeezed out. It's sweet, creamy, and wonderful. But it just comes, it's just, you know what I'm talking about? He just stands here and it's just, yes, Jesus. And it's, it's beautiful. And I love how God uses all of our staff uniquely to speak, just different giftings. But we are created to be this vibrant, loving, amazing work of art. And so this scripture, and you'd have to read all of chapter 12, and I'm going to read a little bit more of it in just a few minutes, but the scripture's saying, so take a new grip. So get a grip with your tired hands. I know that sometimes your grip gets tired and your hands feel weak, but it's time to get a new grip. Take a new grip. Have you ever been hanging? Anybody hung on monkey bars before? Anybody ever done that before? You know how you're hanging on monkey bars and you're if you hang there long enough, all of a sudden your grip starts to get tired? But it's something about when you like let go with one hand, shake it out, and then get a new grip. It renews your strength for another few seconds or milliseconds for me. You know what I mean? And I think this is what the Lord is trying to say to us in this scripture. So let me just kind of lay the groundwork for you. We're in the last message of the Hunger Games series. Actually, this is the last message of our summer series, Summer in the Movies. And if you've ever watched the Hunger Games series, in the Hunger Games, one of the main threads throughout is the emphasis put on food and clothing. In the districts, they don't have enough of it. So they search for it and they work for it. And they try to find ways to get enough of it to survive. Their whole lives are consumed with this pursuit. From the moment they wake in the morning until the moment they fall asleep at night, they are consumed with the thoughts of where their next meal might come from or how they're going to clothe their children. In the capital, they can't get enough of it. Their lives are centered around decadent foods and flamboyant clothing. They fill their lives with parties and gatherings, and they gorge themselves on the food and proudly flaunt the new flashy clothing trends. They hunger for more and more of it. And it seems no matter how much they get, they still want more. It's a never-ending pursuit of the perishable. This consuming force in the fictitious country of Panem, whether it be the capital or the district, is called materialism. Now, materialism is defined as this. It's people are materialistic to the extent that they place acquiring possessions at the center of their lives, judge success by the number and quality of one's possessions, and see these possessions as vital to happiness. Now, I want you to leave that definition up on the screen for a moment. Think about this. I want the Lord to open our hearts and our minds to the truth of his word today. I want the Lord to expose maybe some roots in us, maybe some lies that the enemy has placed inside of us, maybe a lifestyle that we have developed over years of being conditioned to develop this lifestyle. I want the Lord to expose that in all of us today, reveal the truth of his word, and then pull these roots out of our lives. Because I believe that every person in this place today, including myself, every one of us, have some form of materialism in our lives. And I'm hoping today that we can see this. I read an article recently about materialism, and it said there's an invisible force in this world that turns people into selfish, ungrateful, antisocial, unfriendly, and miserable creatures. I'm talking about materialism. In today's society, it's almost impossible not to develop a materialistic tendencies. Think about it. From a very young age, we are being bombarded with glorification and celebration of the rich and famous in the movies, advertisements, billboards, media, and so on. We are taught that being a success in the world means being rich, famous, handsome, and admired by the masses. It's exactly this kind of programming and social conditioning that gets in the way of living a happy and fulfilled life. After all, how could you ever be satisfied if you believe the materialistic values of a society that tells you the only path to happiness is through getting and being more? Now, just let me be clear about something. Before you get all up in arms, let me be clear. Possessing things is not materialism. It's not. Just because you possess things is not materialism. If that were the case, then we couldn't even wear clothing, no matter what kind of clothing it was. So possessing things is not materialism, but when things possess you, that's materialism. In other words, it's the motive of your heart. What is the motive of your heart? And only you and God truly know what that motive is. Now, sometimes we have these motives of our heart that are not right. They're ungodly. They're against his word. But we think we can hide the motive of our heart from everybody around us, including God. In fact, if we lie to ourselves long enough, we start to believe these lies that we don't have these motives in our hearts. That our hearts are pure and our hearts are hungry for the right thing. But the truth is that the motives are still the motives. Just because you cover them up doesn't mean that the motives are gone. And I think that I know in the course of my life, I've done this many times. I knew what the right way was. I knew what the Word of God said. But this motive that was driving me, this hunger that was driving me, had been there for so long, I didn't know how to change it, and I didn't know if I wanted to change it because of the pain that it might cause me. And so I just covered up the motive. I just acted like that truly wasn't the motive of my heart, that my motives were pure, but the motives were not pure. And the more I tried to cover them up, the more it ate at me on the inside. But the more it ate at me, the more I tried to cover it up. Am I making sense to anybody today? So I would just act like it wasn't there. Oh, I knew how to play church around church people. You know what I'm talking about? I knew how to speak Christianese. How you doing today? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know what I'm saying? And I would act like those motives weren't there. I would act like, in fact, I did it for so long at one point in my life, I did it for so long that I didn't even think they were there. But they were there. And they would come to the surface any time that the enemy started to take me down that path, started to flash these things in front of my eyes. So you know the motive of your heart. But just because you have things doesn't mean you're materialistic. Let me give you an example. Of buying a car to impress others, materialistic. Buying a car because you need to get to work, not materialistic. Starting a business because you want to become rich, materialistic. Starting a business because it's your gifting and you're passionate about it, not materialistic. Buying clothes to impress people, materialistic. Buying clothes because you can't go to work naked, not materialistic. Are you getting me? Living to eat, materialistic. Eating to live, not materialistic. Oh, y'all thought that it just would apply to things like cars and clothes and things like that. No, it applies to food too. Living to eat is actually called, in the Bible, it's called gluttony. And we've all done that. See, it's all about the motivation of our hearts. Matthew chapter 6 records some of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. The beginning of the chapter, Jesus said, we must give, we must pray, and we must fast. Yet in the church today, especially in the church in America, less than 20% of members actually give. Less than that actually tithe. The average Christian in America today prays less than 5 minutes a day. And very few even know what fasting is, let alone participate in it. I'm talking about in the church. Yet Jesus started off this chapter, in chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, he started off talking about you must give and you must pray and you must fast. These weren't suggestions by Jesus. He wasn't saying, hey, I think it'd be a good idea. It might benefit you. I don't know. Maybe you're rolling the dice. I don't know. That's not what Jesus was saying. He was saying, you must do these things. If you are a son or daughter of the Most High God, you must give. You must pray. You must fast. This is how to have a wonderful, joyful, abundant life. So why do we see so many people in the church today ignoring these commands by Jesus? Thinking that it's optional to give, or it's optional to pray, or it's optional to fast. Could it be that the motive of our heart is to have our cake and eat it too? Could it be that the motive of our heart is materialism? We just want to have these things? Could materialism turn into so much that it eats us up so much that it turns into we want salvation, but we don't want to live by the word? Come on, y'all. I know I'm going to hit it hard right now, but you need to listen up. This is what the enemy tries to brainwash us into thinking, that we can have these things, that we live by materialistic ways so much that we tend to believe that we can have salvation, but we don't have to live by the word of God. Oh, it sounds like you're saying that we have to do something to earn salvation. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you have to do something to earn salvation. Salvation is a free gift. You have to accept it. But once you accept it, what is it really to be saved? What is it really? To call ourselves a Christian. How many of you know what Christian means, the word Christian means? Raise your hand. Christ-like, or like the anointed one. So if we're calling ourselves a Christian, we're saying we're like the anointed one. There's only one way to be like the anointed one, to live by the word of the anointed one. If we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we have to follow his word. Anybody agree with that today? Yes. You have to follow his word. This is where the dangerous hypergrace has come in to our society today. Where it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter how you live, it doesn't matter who you follow, you're saved and you just don't know it yet. You're going to heaven no matter what. His grace is so big, and it's so good, and it's so grand, and it's so wonderful, it doesn't matter what you do or how you live, you're going to heaven. Hypergrace. It's not up to us. Basically, what hypergrace does is it takes our will right out of the equation. Yes, it does. It's true. See, you have a will. I have a will. And we have to surrender our will to his. We have to say, Father, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in my heart and life today. Yes. We have to make a decision to do that every single day of our lives. So I'm getting somewhere with this. And Jesus in the beginning of chapter 6 said this, but Jesus wasn't just given these instructions to fill space. This is an important message because he was leading up to something. In his goodness, he was trying to show us that the way to eternal wealth, the way to have eternal wealth and joy was to live by his words. Listen to what he says in verses 19 through 24. He said, don't keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts and decays and loses its value. Instead means do something different. How many of you believe that? At the first part, he's saying, don't continually stockpile and hoard these treasures, these earthly treasures for yourself. And then he says, instead, stockpile heavenly treasures. for yourselves that cannot be stolen and will never rust or decay or lose their value. For your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. In other words, whatever you hunger for, that's what your heart's going to go after. Whatever you hunger for, that's what you're going to chase after. Whatever is driving you from the inside, that hunger. Anybody been so hungry they got hunger pains before? Anybody been that hungry before? You had hunger pains, your stomach? Yeah, most of us don't know what that's like. We live in America. We think it's hunger. It's not. It's our stomach saying, stop eating. But you know what I'm talking about? If you've ever fasted, you feel that. Maybe this is why Jesus called us to fast. Maybe we needed to know, get connected with what it feels like to actually hunger for something. Maybe he's trying to place in us. See, the whole point of fasting, let me just be clear about fasting. The whole point of fasting is to go without food. Fasting is going without food, depriving your body of food. That's fasting. I don't care what anybody else says. It's fasting. That's the definition of fasting. That's what Jesus meant when he said fast. Jesus didn't mean not play PlayStation for 5 days. That's fasting. Jesus didn't mean that you're going to not get on Facebook for 5 days. That's fasting. That's not fasting. And if you don't believe me, well, next time your doctor wants to do blood work and he says, this is fasting blood work, go in to get your blood work done the next morning. When they say, did you fast? Go, yeah, I didn't watch YouTube all day, all morning. I didn't get on Facebook. I didn't play PlayStation all morning. No, they're going to say, did you eat anything? Hello? If you go to the doctor to get blood work and it's supposed to be a fasting blood work and they say, did you eat anything? And you say, yes, they say, we can't do the blood work because you didn't fast. So let's be clear about this. Fasting is depriving your body of food for the purpose of connecting in a deeper way with the Father in your spirit. And so Jesus is saying, For your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. And then he says, the eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. But if your eyes are focused on money, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. How profound will that darkness within you, is that darkness within you if the light of truth cannot enter? How could you worship two gods at the same time? You will have to hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot worship the true God while enslaved to the God of money. I don't know how much more clear Jesus could be in his word. Can you? Can you see how blatant, how open? Can you see the Father's heart in Jesus' words? He's clearly setting the stage for us to go deeper into his presence, to have true wealth and joy that can only be found in the kingdom of heaven. He's setting the stage for us to turn our back on materialism and to keep our eyes focused on the light of Christ. He's setting the stage for us to be true sons and daughters of the Most High God, to turn away from what the enemy is going to tempt us with down the road. He's saying you don't need to worry about these things. You don't need to think about these things. He says, just focus on the kingdom. This is how you know if someone is enslaved to materialism. There are many ways, but this is one of the ways that you can really know if someone's enslaved to materialism. One, if a pastor preaches a message like this and somebody gets upset. You heard me. Two, when a pastor or leader starts to talk about tithing and giving, and a person says in their heart, maybe not out loud, but in their heart, why is he always talking about money? He just wants my money. Why does he constantly have to be on this? Why doesn't he just let me decide for myself what I want to do? Why does he always have to harp on this? And why does God want my money? God doesn't need my money. God has everything. He created everything. He doesn't need my money. When a pastor starts talking about tithing and giving and someone does that in their heart and they're getting stirred up and those things start coming to their mind, why do I know this happens? Because I did it myself. I did it for years. Ask my wife. There was a time after we got married, when we first got married, there was a time I didn't believe in tithing. I didn't believe, and I got so upset whenever the pastor started talking about tithing and giving. So upset. Oh my goodness, look at this place. Look at all these lights. Look at all this stuff. They got smoke and stuff. They don't need money. Oh my goodness, look at the shirt he's wearing. That shirt had to cost more than my house. He doesn't need money. I mean, I would say crazy stuff to her. We would get in these discussions. You know, that's what we call them. We don't want to call them arguments. And I would talk about, I would say all of those things. And it wasn't because any of those things were true. It was because materialism had a hold of my heart. I was so caught up with materialism. I was so concerned about my life and what I was going to get and how I was going to raise my family and how I was going to make sure that my family had everything that we needed and how I was going to protect them and provide for them and give them everything that I didn't have when I was a child and all of those things. Materialism will cause you to make inner vows. How many of you have ever said, come on, be honest. Be honest in here. We can be open. How many of you have ever said, I'm going to give my children the things I couldn't have? How have you ever made that promise? That's an inner vow. We have no right to make that vow. If he is truly our provider, who are we to make a vow like that? And I did it. I did it many times. Or you might have said something like this, I'm not going to treat my children like I was treated as a child. Come on, raise your hand. Come on. Inner vow. Instead, what we should say is, Father, your kingdom come and your will be done. You are my provider. You are my protector. Father, you are the one who created me. And anything that you want for my life, that's what I desire. And whatever you want for my family, that's what I desire. Father, let your will be done. Father, whatever you want to provide for me, that's what I'll accept. You can't serve the one true living God and materialism. It doesn't work. Materialism causes you to live in a constant state of worry. It does. You're worried about having enough. You're worried about making ends meet. You're worried about taking care of your family. You're worried about the next promotion. You're worried about achieving your dreams. And if you're not worried about those things, you're worried about keeping the things that you have gained. Remember, in the Hunger Games, there's two type of people there. There are the people from the districts that never had enough, and they were constantly chasing the material things. But there was also the people in the capital who had an abundance of things. They had more than enough, but it was never enough. And when they got more, they needed more. And when they got more, they needed more. It was never enough. In fact, when you watch those movies, they would eat so much, and then they would have this drink that they would drink that would make them throw up so that they could eat more. And we watch movies like that, and we think, oh, those are silly. That's silly. That really doesn't happen. That actually happens in the world today. We may not drink a little something to make us throw up, but there's all kinds of sicknesses and things like that, and there's all kinds of diseases that take place. There's all kinds of things that the enemy wreaks havoc on our minds all through materialism that will cause us to do these crazy things. So Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 6, toward the very end in verse 25. He said, this is why I tell you never to be worried about your life. For all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Then he says this. He says, isn't there more to your life than a meal? Think about that for a moment. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides them with each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they are? Let me just stop here for a second, because during the service today, the Lord was weaving things into this message that he wanted us to hear about, but he was also reaffirming to me what he wanted to speak to his people today. I love when this happens. As I'm back here before I came out for the message, Carolyn Cook comes up to me and gives me another word from the Lord that God had given her, another vision that God had given her about us as his children and how he loves us individually, how important we are to him individually, how much he cares for us individually, that we just don't get it. We just miss the point that if we were the only person on this planet, we're the only person on the earth, he would love us so wonderfully, so amazingly. He would be like the father he is to his body. He cares about you that much that if you were the only person on the earth, he would still have sent his son, Jesus, to die for you. And sometimes we can get lost in the millions, maybe billions of people that are going to receive Christ, and we get lost and caught up in that, like we're just a number. Like we really don't matter as much as the Word of God says we matter, but I'm telling you that we matter that much to him. He loves us individually. He loves us personally. He loves us uniquely. He's the greatest lover of our souls. There is no other. It's like, do this with me for a moment. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. If you're watching live stream, you're at home or somewhere, close your eyes. As long as you're not driving your car, close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes and just imagine, picture, maybe you'll even see him, Jesus, standing right in front of you, nose to nose. In his eyes, blazing fire, looking into your eyes. This is how he sees you every moment of every day. Face to face. He's not too busy to keep his attention on you. He's not too busy to give undivided attention to you every moment of every day. He sees you. He loves you. He protects you. He provides for you. You don't have to take this upon yourself. You don't have to provide for yourself. Why are you worrying about possessions? Why are you worrying about the next meal? Why are you worrying about your job? Why are you worrying about your children? Why do you worry about your family? Why do you worry about the roof over your head? He loves you. He provides for you. He will never forsake you. It's a promise from his word. Now open your eyes. He wants us to live this way every day. If we could walk around seeing him in front of us every day, gazing into our eyes, passionately protecting us, passionately providing for us. How many of you in this place today believe that Jesus can provide for everything that you need? How many of you think he can do it? Do you believe it? If we didn't believe that, why would we ever follow him? If he's not that big of a God, if he's not that good of a God, why would we ever follow him? So while we're worshiping, Carmen comes to me. Carmen, where are you? Up in the balcony. I don't see her. There she is. Carmen, you came all the way down from the balcony? It was worth it. She comes down to me and she gives me what God spoke to her to write in her journal during worship. So, you ready for this? This is what he said to her. Why do you worry? Come on. Why are you anxious for anything? Have I not commanded? I am greater than anything in the world, and I am in you. Completely and totally. So why are you anxious? Why fear? It makes no sense. Listen to what Jesus, this is Jesus. This is what he's saying to us. He's saying, it makes no sense. If you trust me, why do you worry? If I'm your father, why do you worry? If I'm your provider, why do you worry? If I took everything upon me so that you could be free, why do you stay chained up in bondage? It makes no sense. And you keep trying to make sense of it. I make sense. Nothing else does. Boy, that's good right there. I believe he created sense. I make the darkness tremble, and I am in you. Do you believe it? Carmen, I don't know what this says, but I'm going to read it like I see it, okay? I need you. It is the truth. The darkness trembles because I am in you. I'm just going to stick with that because I feel that so strongly in my bones. How many of you believe Jesus needs you? Oh, come on, y'all. Come on. Jesus needs you. See, it's interesting because part of materialism will cause us to chase after the perishable. And the more we chase after the perishable, the less the imperishable becomes important to us. Our lives get consumed by the perishable. It gets consumed by meeting our needs, by the next meal and the clothing and the house and then the bigger house and the bigger car and then all the stuff that we can get. You know, this is how we've been conditioned our whole lives. The earth we live on has conditioned us to climb the ladder of success and get to the next rung. Whatever it takes, just keep climbing. Don't give up. You can do this and you can provide for yourself and you can be important and you can be known by the masses. And you can be good looking. Oh, you can be better looking than God designed you. Go have that surgery. You can be better looking than that. Do I need to keep going? You see where materialism takes you, and Jesus is saying, throw all that away because I'm the only thing that makes sense, and I need you to get it. Let me just go here. Picture this for a moment. How many of you have children? You have children. Okay, picture your child dying for the world. Picture your child dying for the entire world. And picture that world not getting it and turning their back on your child. Picture your son or your daughter being tortured and beaten beyond recognition and nailed to a cross and hung there until they died, till they suffocated to death. Just
so the people of the world could be free, just so the people of the world could no longer be in bondage, just so that they could have everything that your child died for, and yet they still don't get it and they turn their back on him or her. And Jesus is saying, I need you to get it. Carmen, that was good. That's Jesus. I need you to get it. I need you to see how much I love you. I need you to see how much I have given for you, because I love you, not because I want something from you, not because I want you to do something for me. I did this for you because I love you. So Jesus goes on. Says, so then forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For this is what the unbelievers chase after. In other words, this is what he's saying. This is what those people who do not know me chase after. This is what those people who do not believe in me chase after. This is what those people who do not get it chase after. But if you get it, if you know me, if you love me, if you believe in me, then forsake your worries. Cast them into the wind. They're not going to do you any good. Trust me. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him, then all of these less important things will be given to you abundantly. That's his word. So look at somebody, say, get a grip. Come on, look at somebody, say, get a grip. It's time to take a new grip, people. It's time to take a new grip. Time to cast your worries off and trust the Father completely. Trust Jesus completely. It's time to crush materialism once and for all. And if you're still having trouble with this, if you're still getting tripped up with this, just think about it this way. As long as your heart is chasing after Jesus relentlessly and pursuing him wholeheartedly, then things don't have a hold on you. Materialism doesn't have a hold on you. Only Jesus does. You might be saying, well, Pastor Bill, can I have stuff? Yeah, you can have stuff. In fact, the Bible says, in the scripture I just read, Jesus said, if you'll just pursue righteousness and the kingdom of God above all else, all of these less important things will be given to you abundantly. What he's saying is, put it in perspective, what's more important, Jesus or things? What's more important, the kingdom of God or things? Y'all, what's more important? Kingdom of God. So pursue him. Pursue him with all your hunger and thirst for righteousness. Don't hunger and thirst for materialism. And when you do, all of those things will come. But here's what changes when that happens. Here's what changes. Ready? When those things come, you can't give them away fast enough. Once you've been set free from this, I can tell you from experience, once you've been set free, God just keeps pouring things into your, blessings just keep pouring into your lap over and over again, don't they, baby? Like we can testify, once we surrendered our hearts to this and totally got rid of materialism, we don't care what people say about what we have, because they have no idea what we've given away. So I'm not worried about what you think about what I have. I don't care if you think my shirts are too flashy. I like my shirts. But I've probably given more shirts away than I can number. Because once you get this, once you get it, then you know that the provider has limitless possessions. Limitless. Like, you can't give it away fast enough. And he just keeps pouring it on, pouring it on, pouring it on. And the more he can trust you with what he gives you, the more he'll give you. Amen. It's truth. The Bible says it this way. If you can be trusted in the little things, I will put you in charge of the greater things. Amen. So what do you need? Do you need a house? Do you need a car? Do you need clothes? Do you need food? Do you need a better job? What do you need? What are the needs in your life today? If you'll just cast your cares and your worries away and trust the Father to provide for you, everything that He has will be at your disposal. But you got to get rid of that materialism. You got to crush it once and for all. So if that's you and you want to crush materialism today, once and for all, I want you to stand. Anybody? Come on, y'all. Thank you for your honesty. Come on. You're going to get set free today. You're going to get set free today. Set free today. I want you to agree with me today. I want you to walk out of this place never worrying about possessions ever again. Ever again. I want you to walk out of this place never worrying about your future ever again. Listen to what Jesus said at the end of the scripture. He said, refuse to worry about tomorrow. Come on, say that to me. I need to refuse to worry about tomorrow. Lift your hand if that's you. Refuse to worry about, I refuse. Say it with me. Say, I refuse to worry about tomorrow. I refuse. Jesus said, refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. So close your eyes, lift your hands. We say, Father God, we give you everything today. We give you everything. We lay it all at your feet. Father, say this, Father, in the name of Jesus, we crush materialism under our feet. Father, we trust you and you alone. Renew our minds, renew our hearts, completely drive out materialism and the yearning for possessions. We trust you, Father, and we know that we are free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise this morning. Go ahead and be seated. I want to read the ending of the passage in Hebrews to you. I read the first part, verses 12 and 13. I read that at the beginning of the message about getting a new grip, take a new grip. But listen to verses 14 through 17. It says, in every relationship, be swift to choose peace over competition and run swiftly toward holiness. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Watch over each other to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace. And make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. Be careful that no one among you lives in immorality, becoming careless about God's blessings. I just want to say, let me stop and say, don't become careless about his blessings. Now that you have crushed materialism and now that you're going to walk out of this place not worrying about today or tomorrow, not worrying about possessions or any of those things, trusting that God will provide all your needs, do not walk out of this place being careless with his blessings. He's about to start pouring blessings into your lap. How many of you believe that? He's about to pour blessings on you that you cannot contain. It's the truth of God's word. He promised us he would do it. So he's going to pour blessings out on you. I'm just encouraging you to be a good steward with the blessings that he's pouring into your lap. Don't
Don't slip back into your old way of materialism and try to hoard them. Give them away when God leads you to give them away. It doesn't mean that he's going to tell you to give everything away, but when Holy Spirit says, Ron, give this away, then you give it away. As quick as you can, give it away. I promise you, if you do that, inlets and outlets, as that goes out of your life, God's going to pour something new into your life. It just comes on you. It's like a wave, wave after wave after wave. He just keeps blessing you. Kim and I have determined, we've realized that this is the way to keep the waves coming. Just be good stewards with his blessings. Just keep blessing. Just keep blessing others. I want our community, I believe it can happen with a group of people like this. I want our community to be so blessed. I want the Blue Water area to go, man, it's like people give me stuff all the time. Every time I turn around, somebody's giving me something and blessing me. I believe that the power of God's love can overcome any obstacle. I believe that his love never fails. I believe that if we start operating in this type of love of the Father, that this community would explode with the goodness of God. Y'all, I kind of believe that. I kind of. Yeah, there you go. Come on, y'all. We got to get excited about this, about what God wants to do. And so, this is what it continues to say. Becoming careless about God's blessings. Then it says, like Esau, who traded away his rights as the firstborn for a what? What does it say? Simple meal. I want to just bring this full circle, what we're talking about today. Why are you worried about what you're going to eat today? Why are you worried about what you're going to eat? You see what Jesus is saying? Stop worrying about those things. You'll have plenty of food. It'll be good food. Right, Michael? Come on. Looking at a chef right here. Good food. High quality stuff. God will just pour out upon you. So trust him today. Be good stewards of his blessings, and he will continue to bless you. Amen?